Time now for our Mindful Mondays segment of the show, brought to you by Mentis. And joining us now via telephone is a gentleman with 30 years of experience as a clinical psychologist. He's also a member of the board for Mentis. And Dr. Brett Johnson joins us now via telephone. Good morning, sir.
Morning, Barry. Thanks for having me so early, making me get up so early.
That's what it's all about, you know, get an early start, get a lot done. Let's talk for a little bit here. I mentioned in the tease earlier that it's been several months now since the fires, but the effects of the fires are still visible to us out there on the landscape, and they're still present among a lot of people who were traumatized by those fires. We talked off the air the other day a little bit about this. There are still a lot of people who are needing treatment for essentially PTSD, right?
Yeah, essentially what happens, without getting too technical on you, is there's something called acute stress syndrome, which is an earlier version of PTSD. But what we're finding are that people who have either directly experienced or experienced through somebody else the trauma of, you know, what's happened to us starting in early October, and our brothers and sisters, if you will, over in Santa Rosa and Silverado Trail and the like, that they're having some latent symptoms, some things that have been not just their own in terms of losing sleep and being anxious and maybe being irritable and depressed and having maybe nightmares or bad dreams. We're talking a whole range from children all the way up to older adults. But people who are vicariously experiencing these things as a result of knowing people who've lost their homes, and many people who've had to relocate. And as a result of that, they're having those kind of symptoms. And there are some people that are also having, if you will, triggered latent post-traumatic stress disorder, where they didn't even realize that things were kind of going on in the background for them. And then a trauma comes along, like our earthquake and like our fires. And as a result of that, they end up kind of re-experiencing some old traumas, and they need treatment as a result of that.
It's actually possible to be traumatized even if you were not really that directly affected. I think that's what I picked up, a sort of a referred trauma, because you've seen what happened to other people. They lost their homes or lost their lives.
It is, and actually what's interesting, again, without being too technical, is in the old, what was our diagnostic manual, you used to have to directly experience a trauma, but now through witnessing or being with somebody kind of vicariously who's been traumatized, and as I said, latent as well in yourself, those folks are suffering, and we're also talking about little kids who you don't know what's going on, or maybe it might be your spouse or a good friend, and you've got some, you know, irritable behavior, loss of sleep, and some other things going on that might seem like there's changes in their personality of sorts, and that could be related to some sort of an anxiety and a trauma-based sort of situation.
Mm-hmm. Where does the line exist between the PTSD effect and actually being depressed? Or I guess I'm looking for, I think of PTSD as being a cause and effect, or maybe a shorter term result. Is that true, first of all, perhaps? And then is there a longer term result where that turns into a depression?
It certainly could. Again, there's something called an acute stress disorder, which is a shorter term, under 6 months, and then PTSD turns into a longer term sort of situation. And yes, some people do indeed experience those things. If those things have gone on long enough and it goes into like a depressive sort of experience, and, you know, everybody expresses that differently. Like some adolescents who may already be kind of, you know, irritating or annoying or whatever, may be kind of more that way or more withdrawn, or, you know, it doesn't always show as sadness or suicidal behavior and those kind of things, but it shows in irritable sorts of negative ways as well. And, you know, again, I'm on the board for Mentis, and my job is to kind of oversee, if you will, as a board member, you know, the comings and goings of what's going on in our organization, which is pretty much the mental health organization in the Napa Valley. There's some others, but we're the big ones, bilingual and otherwise. And to make sure that we have the needs met for our clients, and what we're finding is that we've got a longer wait list. We've got more people coming in with this latent sort of PTSD or maybe some older depression kind of symptoms or whatever coming up. And so at Mentis, we're trying to make sure that our clinicians are available to clients who are in need post-fire. And it was the same thing with the earthquake that happened a couple of years ago. And any disaster or anything that's coming up, and as well as we just provide ongoing treatment for folks in the Napa Valley, all the way from Calistoga down, and trauma-based as well as wellness-based work for clients in the Valley. Mm-hmm. And so hoping that we can kind of get the word out there a little bit. That's what, you know, thank you for interviewing me, because mm-hmm. as a psychologist, I see a lot of need going on and hear a lot of stories and get to see an organization as great as Mentis kind of go into action and help people who are desperately in need.
Yeah, and we'll want to, during this segment, before we're done, we'll find out how people can get in touch and who they can contact if they or someone they know needs a little bit of help. There are tendencies that can be in the individual or within a family or within a cultural group or within an occupation that gives the message that being stoic and not talking about what's bothering you is the best course of action. That's worked, I guess, for some people over time, but for others that turns out to be long-term, sort of like a poison pill, as it were. Can you speak to that a little bit, the idea of just kind of ignoring it, soldiering on, versus stopping and paying attention to what you're feeling?
Yeah, that's part of the mindfulness that you're kind of trying to do on these Mondays here. My stepdad was a Marine, and my father was only a reservist in the Army, so I had some of that going on in my upbringing, and I saw the effects of other people in who had those kind of attitudes, not just the military. One of the reasons I became a psychologist, knowing that, yeah, you know, you can do that for so long, but actually that doesn't make you more resilient. Actually, that makes you suffer more, and ultimately doesn't make you more emotionally intelligent. It actually gets in the way. So it's not a long-term coping device for anybody, male, female. Certainly, you don't want to teach your kids that sort of thing. You want to help yourself first, you know, just like in the airplane, put that mask on first. And then you want to be able to help your kids by talking about emotions, by getting familiar with what each other is feeling, which is empathy, and being able to be present and not freak out just because you have strong emotions or any emotions that are normal, especially in a situation where there's been a traumatic event.
You know, some people will have the attitude basically that talking about it doesn't change anything. Talking about it doesn't change what I experienced or how I'm feeling. You know, that's actually, in my experience, not true, though.
Yeah, and that's a longer discussion. It'd be interesting to have that on a bigger episode, but actually the brain, as we've learned, and they're studying people, you know, with MRIs and the like, it does make a difference brain-wise. It actually does change. You may not feel it right away. There is relief for most people. My specialty in working in Santa Clara and Santa Cruz was working with firefighters, and those folks, sometimes they were forced to come to me by their superiors, and sometimes they would just come on their own, and actually more and more of them, as they found out it helped, came and referred each other, and they found that things actually did change. Things changed inside of them primarily first, and the behavior follows. But that's a very old model to think that things don't change. But we have lots of evidence now that actually talking about feelings needs to be somebody who's safe, need to be somebody you can trust. And sometimes the only way to do that, and sometimes the best way to do that, is to find a therapist. And that's, you know, why Mentis exists.
We're talking with Dr. Brett Johnson. He has 30 years experience as a clinical psychologist and provides a significant contribution to Mentis by being a board of directors member. And Brett Johnson is our guest here on the show this morning, our Mindful Mondays. We're going to come back in just a moment and talk some more about what you can do if someone around you is experiencing what may in fact be leftover trauma from the wildfires in October. We'll talk more about it in just a moment here on KVON. Don't go away. And the time now is 7:18. We're back on KVON with our Mindful Mondays segment. And this week we're talking with Dr. Brett Johnson, clinical psychologist. He's a board member with Mentis, which brings you this program today. And we've been talking a little bit about people still suffering the effects of the October wildfires, having post-traumatic stress. And that sounds like, it's a big title for the feeling. And I guess I attach in my mind PTSD to those who served in the military. And that's another kind of problem, I think, for those who may want to, as I said, bottle up those feelings and just keep going and not talk to anybody about it. Like, well, what I went through isn't like someone in the military. How could I have PTSD? Is that a common reaction?
Yeah, very common reaction. And again, it did actually come out of the study of PTSD. Did come out of looking at soldiers who came to World War II and providing treatment. And actually the organization Mentis was Napa Valley Family Services, and the family services in California were all set up to provide services for people post World War II. This is actually our 70th year, so we've kind of morphed beyond obviously just providing help for soldiers and vets to, you know, families and lots of people in the community who are suffering from various traumas, and more recently, the fires.
So let's talk a little bit about direct steps that people can take. Now, obviously, getting some kind of help may be an answer, but how would we know? What are the signs to look for in ourselves or in someone close to us that that we're not coping well?
Yeah, if people were really interested, they could go to the diagnostic statistics manual and look at what we look at as clinicians. But I'll break it down and hopefully make it a little easier for folks. One is sleep. People who have had disrupted sleep, and sometimes that sleep disruption is a result of nightmares, or they can be terrifying nightmares. They can have a story behind them, but with little kids, oftentimes they don't. They just have the feeling that goes with it, and they wake up and they're like aware that something's wrong. For some people, it's avoidance. They are not doing things that they need to be doing, which is kind of being assertive and facing your life in such a way that you normally would or need to, you know, and that kind of overlaps with what you're talking about a little earlier. Some people show signs of depression as a result. Some people are exhausted. And it's like, you know, you may think, well, I haven't done anything different to make me feel exhausted, like I wasn't, you know, running a marathon or anything like that. But emotionally, it can take a toll so that physically you feel exhausted. And like you're saying, sometimes stuffing those feelings and the like actually does make somebody exhausted, as opposed to feeling relieved and relaxed and lighter and less serious. And some people just don't have the fortitude or the strength to go on. There's kind of a helplessness that goes on for some folks. So those are a few of the things. There's certainly some others as mm-hmm. well.
And one of the things that happens, obviously, is if you're feeling those ways, you're not sleeping, you're a little on edge, maybe you try some substance to make you feel better. Maybe you have a little more alcohol. Maybe you take an additional sleeping pill or, you know, go for some other kind of over-the-counter remedy, as it were. That in itself can be another kind of problem, right?
Yeah, great. Good point. Unfortunately, we live, you know, in the Napa Valley where there's readily available wine and the like, and it seems like for some people, sometimes just a little bit more of a, you know, a good reason, if you will, to drink some more wine and enjoy the fruits of labor and what we have here, and excess anything, whether it's alcohol or pot or drugs or, you know, to help you sleep or whatever, can in the long term create some addictions and some habits that become hard to break. So, you know, you may observe that in yourself, hopefully, if you have that awareness, or somebody may observe that for you, or you may observe that in your friends and family. Yep, that's a warning sign.
All right. So, again, what are the now, how does someone find the help that's available? Mentis is providing this opportunity, but how do people listening get connected to what the services are?
Yeah, the easiest thing to do for Mentis, to get in touch with Mentis, is to call our number, which is 707-255-0966, 707-255-0966. And then we have an intake coordinator, and that intake coordinator, great woman who I just talked to her the other day, if we can't provide the services, we'll make a referral to another organization that can. Our particular organization is based on sliding scale, so people who are in need, usually financially, and people who are on Medi-Cal or Medicare or just don't have insurance. So we'll treat primarily those folks. Those people who have, you know, regular insurance or whatever may go to another organization like Aldea in the community or another one. And we have Up Valley Family Resources, which is in St. Helena in Calistoga. We have a number of resources that are available throughout the school districts, all the way from Calistoga down to Napa, a program called Teens Connect, for example. So they might show up in the schools, and a teacher might make a referral as well to one of those programs. And so the kids might be able to get their own form of counseling as a part of a pullout or something that goes on in their daily school. So that's a good way too. If you go on the web, it's mentisnapa.org. So it's MENTIS, napa.org. So that's another way to just see what we have, and it's a huge, great website that has everything listed.
Okay, very good. And does this mean that a person coming in for some help will be visiting Mentis, or will they possibly be going to some other office locations?
Yeah, they might go to one of our other locations, as Family Resources, or not one of the other locations that we have. We're in Napa, but we have some other things available, or if we don't, again, we do have counselors in some of the other locations. And we are the only pretty much bilingual across all of the different cities across the Napa Valley. And we have an animal assist program, too. So we have a dog that works with one of our therapists, and it's a great way to reach kids and people who are a little bit more cut off from normal social contact. We have play therapy programs as well that are available for our kids and our adolescents.
Very good. We've been talking here with Dr. Brett Johnson, a clinical psychologist and a board member for Mentis. How long is a normal period of feeling upset by something like the wildfires? You know, the average person, I'm sure everybody's different, but you have different sensitivity levels. But is there like a clock on such a thing to where after a certain amount of time, this experience will dissipate and we won't feel the way we feel now?
Yeah, and the model for our diagnostic criteria is about 3 months. Again, like you said, normal is not normal for everybody, and so it so many ways. So 3 months is kind of on the average, but that's the whole thing. We found from studies and research that we don't want people to soldier through something if they're experiencing, if they're suffering with some of those symptoms like trouble sleeping, irritable, aggressive withdrawal, anxious, depressed, because it does, in the long run, tend to make things worse. So the sooner you can get help, the better it is. There's a small percentage of people that, because of their own resiliency, that they never need to seek treatment, and because they have their own supports, social supports, which are very, you know, valuable, and that's what research shows as well, they do fine. But the research suggests otherwise, that people should reach out sooner than later. So we're in that, you know, we're in that period where it's past 3 months now, and it's a good idea for people to find some way to ask for help.
So the message is that help is available, and it's available on a sliding scale, so the cost should not be a barrier, and all a person has to do is reach out. Would you give us the phone number and web address again, please?
Sure, you got it, Barry. Phone number 707-255-0966, and the web is mentisnapa.org, M-E-N-T-I-S, Napa. org, and then all the resources are listed on there as well.
Very good. And again, Dr. Brett Johnson, thank you for your time today. Thank you for the time you put in with Mentis as a board member.
Thank you, Barry. Great to be here.
Very good. So Mindful Mondays for this week, brought to you by Mentis.